Let's talk about the things of God just a little bit. The book of Habakkuk, second chapter, if you've got your Bibles, turn to the first verse. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, an atoning proverb against him, and say, Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his, how long unto him that ladeth himself with thick clay? Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Because of men's blood and for the violence of the land of the city and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, Awake, to the stone, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. You know, just in these words alone, there's enough gospel to preach until Jesus comes, even if it was 100 years away. I will stand upon my watch, he says. Set me upon the tower, said, I'll watch to see what he's going to say to me when I'm reproved of him. And then the Lord said to write the vision, make it plain, put it on tables. And he that runs, or he that readeth, let him run, for the vision is for the end time. Said to wait for it, it's going to come. The vision is for the end time. The vision is for the end time. And then he says here, for the earth, 14th verse, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So then the question arises in our heart as to the prophet, what is he saying? What does he mean there's going to be a vision for the end time? What kind of vision? He told Daniel, he said, Daniel, I've come to give you skill in the wonderful knowledge of God. And so here we see again another vision. Now this vision is spoken of by another prophet. And it says it's going to be for the end time, and we wonder what the vision is going to be. He tells us to tarry, wait for it, it's coming. And of course, the Bible said at the end time, that they tarried in the upper room until they were filled with this wonderful infilling. And the beginning of the church age, there it was. It set in. And this continued through the church ages as to the church age messengers and on down. And here it is right at the very end of the world, in that this also has to do with what he said, for the knowledge of the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The knowledge, what is the vision that he said was coming at the end time? He goes ahead and expresses over here, he speaks in the second verse about the vision. In the 14th verse, he makes it clear that the vision is the knowledge of the glory. The knowledge of the glory of God. This is the vision. The knowledge is coming at the end time. And what kind of knowledge is it going? What kind of knowledge is it going to be? It's going to be the knowledge of the glory. Now, there's a lot of knowledge in the world. All kind of knowledge. The Bible said they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But this vision of the end time was the knowledge of the glory. This is so beautiful. The knowledge of the glory. He said that these dumb idols, you overlay them with gold, but they can't speak to you. There's no breath in them. He said, but now it's different in the 20th verse. He said, but the Lord is in his holy temple. And Paul said, whose temple ye are, in that God is in his temple. God is inside of you, and God is in his temple. And his temple is what John referred to as the tabernacle of God in the earth. So then here we are, the temple of God. Here the glory of God is within us. And the glory of God shut up within us, it's veiled on the inside of us. But the most beautiful thing about it is there's coming a knowledge, a vision of the end time that's going to reveal to you and I about this wonderful, great, wonderful infilling of his glory. Hallelujah. That makes me feel good all over just talking about it. So then it's so wonderful to know that there is now at the end time a great knowledge that is given to God's people. The knowledge, this knowledge, Paul spoke of it. In Paul's day, he said, such a one, he speaks of them, as being caught up into the third heaven and seeing things it was not permissible at that time to speak. Little doubt in my mind that was that glory. You know, Jesus, just before his departure, he took some of his disciples. He went up on a great mountain. I've been up on that mountain in the Holy Land. I'm sure some of you have. Been up there where he stood with his disciples. And standing up on this mountaintop, the Bible said a great thing took place and he appeared in glory. He appeared in glory. And there was Moses and there was Elijah. And they were in glory. And now then, here we have this great, wonderful thing that is told us that at the end time, the knowledge of the glory is coming. You know, this is why I get so excited sometimes in talking to the brethren. I get excited and I get carried away sometimes. You know, I get beside myself. The man said to Paul, said, you're beside yourself. He said, he didn't deny that he was beside himself. He said, but if I am beside myself, he said, it's for Christ. And if I'm beside myself, if I get beside myself, it is because of God. It is for the knowledge of God. It is the grace of God. I've come into this great knowledge. I've come into the knowledge of his glory. I've seen the knowledge of his glory. I've been let in to this wonderful world of the knowledge of the glory of God. And I see these great, mighty, wonderful things that I never knew. You know, I never knew that they were. The Bible said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll show you great things such as you've never known. And the Bible said when Jesus was walking the earth, said things that's been hid from the foundation of the world, he said, it's been made known now through the crucifixion of the Son of God, through Calvary. Paul said, now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even that which is in heavenly places. You have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. And he said, now it's made known things that many great men desired to see, but never did get to see. He said, and you have entered into other men's labor. So I see the church today, and this is why that I take the outlook that I take. This is why I say the things that I say, and this is why sometimes I sound kind of strange. I see the church of today running after ball games and running after the frivolous, beggarly elements of the world and taking the things from the land of Esau and doing the things of the flesh and being carried away with those things out there. Those little foolish, childish, abased things, things that belong to the children of the world. I see that. And then I look back and I see the great, wonderful things of God being neglected. And I see the sons of God and I see these people in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. Their minds are literally in bondage to these things. They follow these things. They go after these things. The love of the world is in them. And the Bible said, if the love of the world is in them, the love of the Father isn't there. The love of natural things, if it's there, then the love of heavenly things are not there. We're told to meditate in the laws of God day and night, to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And I think about this and I see people in bondage. And I think, Lord, if I cast down imagination, if I cast down every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, if I get rid of imagination, I've got to get rid of ball games. I've got to get rid of worldly frolics, because all of that is some kind of a game, something that's born out of imagination, something that comes from the world of Satan. It's the love of the flesh. Satan savors the things that be of the world. You know, let me stop here just for a minute. Today, I'd gone up to the hospital to see Mom, and while I was waiting on my wife there, I looked at a tag on a car. And on the tag, it said, I am an American by birth, I believe was the way it said it. He said, and I am a bulldog by grace. And you know, that was repulsive to me. I looked at it and saw that bulldog on there, you know, the football players and whatever. I thought, my God, you know, that really got to me. And then I heard something say, it's all right. And then I thought, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. I said, that's right. That's right. You know, that's exactly the way it is. We are an American by birth. You know, we live in America and we're born into America. So that makes us a native of America. And for sure, people that are dogs by the grace of God, because if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus and the grace of God, the dogs wouldn't be around. Jesus spoke of the dogs and the pigs of wallowing in the slop. And anybody that would print anything like that in a sacrilegious way would have to be a dog. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. So I thought, God, that's true. That is true. They are just here by the grace of God. Jesus said one time that the dog would go back to his vomit in the old sow. You could wash her, but she'd go back to her wallowing in the mire. I spoke Wednesday night concerning the offering of pig's blood on the altar. How many of you remember that? Brother Scotty told me he got lost on that. He said he done all right on Sunday morning, but when I got into that, Bill said he talked like he got lost on that too, but said he really saw something in that about pig's blood on the altar. How many of you remember that from the Old Testament over to the New Testament, there's a breach in there. There's a 500-year breach in there. 490 years is spoken of concerning Daniel and the vision there. Over here in this area, how many of you remember there's no prophets back during the time of what they call the Silent Age, along in that period? And some of you probably are acquainted with the history of the Maccabeans. And you remember the history that says Epiphanes, how that he offered a pig on the altar. Offered a pig on the altar. See, he offered up this pig on the altar. I want you to listen now. He offered the pig on the altar. He desecrated the altars of God. See, because there's supposed to be blood offered as a lamb without spot, without blemish, which is the body of the Lord Jesus, whose body ye are, members in particular. And the Bible said you're delivered all the day long as unto the slaughter. You're led as sheep unto the slaughter. You're offered on the altars of God. You are an innocent people. The Bible says you're perfected forever. You're justified by faith in God. You're sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of Lord Jesus Christ. And you are perfected forever. And the Bible says you are glorified. So you are a lamb without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Now you say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about the knowledge of the glory. And so then there is the Lamb, and you are that Lamb. And the Bible said, the evil one toucheth you not. Never. At any time during a Christian life, does the devil ever touch him? Never. One time. During his whole Christian experience, he is a perfect church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And he's never touched by Lucifer. So then we see this. We are a lamb without spot, without blemish. We're bone of his bone. We're flesh of his flesh. And we're offered up daily on the sacrifice. People just walk over us. They do us anyway. They mistreat the church. Though we have a law of separation of church and state, yet the state comes down on the church. They rob the church. They take from the church. They've already penalized the church. You understand what I'm saying? We are the lamb to the slaughter. They're taking taxes. I just got word they're passing more rules to take more taxes. I remember that at the time of the taxing, when Mary was heavy with child, that she went up and there they taxed her. Joseph and Mary went up to the city to be taxed. I remember that. It was at the time of the birth of the child. I made the statement. I said, there's going to be a repeat. I said, just watch now. It's coming to pass. I said, when the church is heavy with child. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And I said, just at the time when the church is heavy with child, they're going to bring a great taxing upon the church. And right here at the very time of the travail, right here when they are coming down on the church and have been doing it with this Jim Jones thing and all the different things of coming down on the church right at this moment is heavy with child. And it's just ready to break forth in coming forth from the wound and breaking forth into the image of God or in the image of Christ. It's just now ready to break forth. The rending of the veil, Calvary, Revelation 12, everything is just said. For the revealing of the knowledge of the glory, the Christ child coming forth, the eradication of the infiltration of the old tree of knowledge, the cutting down of that generation of vipers, where John laid the axe to the root of the tree, all the way from there back to the garden, to get rid of the first man Adam and all the followers of the first man Adam, that in Adam all died, to cut down that tree of knowledge, and to bring forth the tree of life from Calvary, which is Christ, the beginning of the creation of God. Bringing the mind of Christ, the knowledge of the glory. The knowledge of the glory, the mind of Christ. Whereas the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, this is the beauty of the knowledge of the glory. The average individual can't accept that. I say this again. The average individual, they can't accept that. You say to the average individual, the knowledge of his glory, to be equal with God, they say, oh my, I could never do that, Brother Pike. And they couldn't. They couldn't never do that. Why is it they could never do that? Because they're not offering lamb's blood. They're like the man that offered the pig's blood. See, they're offering pig's blood. There's a religious move in the world today, but it's not the lamb's blood. It's not the body of Christ. It's not members in particular of the Lord. It's the pig's blood. You know, the life is in the blood, and any time you offer your life to God, you're offering him your blood. See, being a living sacrifice, a sacrifice is given to God, a living sacrifice, your blood, your life, you're giving it to God by serving God, serving your fellow man, and helping the needy, the poor. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and then keep yourselves unspotted from the world. See, we're giving ourselves. We're offering our blood. We're offering our life. This is the blood of the Lamb. See, we're without spot. We're without wrinkle. We're without blemish. But the others are offering pig's blood. See, that's pig's blood. Jesus said, those that are without their swine. Those that are without their dogs, he said, don't even bring the price of a dog into the house of God. You bring an offering from the wicked, and you say, somebody gave an offering out here. Somebody that's guzzling beer, somebody that's doing the things of the world, somebody that loves the things of the world, somebody that's in the things of the world. You bring it to God as an abomination in the sight of God. For the Bible said the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. And there is no peace to the wicked. God doesn't want anything the wicked's got.
He's able to take care of his own cause. He's able to, if he was shot, he could just turn us to a gold mine. He said, the cattle of 1,000 hills belong to me. All of the gold is mine. All of the silver is mine. When they needed some food, God just rained down manna from heaven. He took care of them. He did not call on the rest of the nation. He did not call on the rest of the world because he didn't have to do that. You understand what I'm saying? So then just the price of a dog brought into the house of God, he says he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. And then when you offer pig's blood, you offer a pig's blood on the altar. You come to give God as it was with Cain. The fruits of the fields, those things that is not of God, those things that's of the world, those things that's of the flesh. He doesn't want that. See, he doesn't want that. Anytime you're not born again, anytime you're not a spiritual being, anytime you don't belong to God as in the quickening, anytime that Christ's Spirit is not on the inside of you, then that means that you can't give nothing to God. That means you don't belong to God. You're in the world, you're in the flesh, and you could never please God. But when you're born again, you're offering the blood of the Lamb. You're bone of his bone, you're flesh of his flesh. You're that lamb of the evening time without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. You're that lamb. But those people that are churchy, those people that are ritualistic, those people that are religious, those people that are out in the world, those people are pigs, they're dogs. And when they come to offer their sacrifice, God won't receive it. You know, mixed up among the dogs, mixed up among the pigs, there are still those that are in ignorance, those that are in ignorance to the extent that they don't know that they're the predestinated of God. They've never been told, they've never been reached, and of course some have never been born to the world yet. And it's our job to keep on searching and seeking till we find them. Jesus said, you've not sought me, I sought you. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came down from heaven. He's the one that's been searching. He's the one that's in the life of Brother Pike that travels across the different parts of the world searching out and seeking out the lost, trying to find the sheep. And he says, Father, I've not lost to one of them that you have given me. Only Judas said he is lost. So then, those people out there that are not sons of God, that are not the predestinated, Jesus said they're pigs, they're dogs. We're not to abuse them, we're not to mock them, but we're not to eat with the pigs. Like the prodigal that would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, he finally came to the right mind. You know, I was out there with the pigs, I was out there with the dogs. You know, and I fain would have filled my belly with the husk that the swine eat. I'd have been just like one of them. I didn't know any different. You know, I didn't understand. Like the ugly duckling, the story of the ugly duckling. I didn't understand. See, like the story of the eagle that was born in the barnyard with the chickens. I was out there. I didn't understand. But one day I found the mind of Christ. I heard somebody speak. As it was said of that little eagle, it had heard a mother call somewhere. It heard that scream from that great eagle. It lifted its body up. It done something to it. Quickened it. It made it come alive. It discovered potentialities that it never knew that it had. As that great eagle swept across the barnyard and began to scream, there was something that was thrilling about that to that little eaglet. It didn't touch those chickens. But that little eagle, it had done something to it, and it just caused it to vibrate with forces and powers that it made such a discovery that it flapped a few times and off it went with the mother. You understand what I'm saying? God has made us sons of God. We're not made for this world. He said, come out of the world, be a separate people, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. We're not supposed to be in the barnyard with the pigs. We're supposed to come out. We're not supposed to offer pig's blood on the altar. That this age of grace, God having given the grace, God having spilt his blood through the body of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God having given a day of grace, not for the wicked. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, God is so good that he gave us a space here with a day of grace for the wicked. God didn't give a day of grace for the wicked. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. That the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. God doesn't love the wicked. God doesn't love everybody. God loves the righteous. And he said, I'm angry with the wicked every day, he said. And I will pursue the wicked, he said, till they perish from over the face of the earth. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. You say, Brother Pike, why then does God give a day to the wicked? He doesn't give a day to the wicked. God has given none of his time to the wicked. He hasn't given any grace to the wicked. He said, my eyes are so pure, I can't look on iniquity. His own son, being made the image of sin, God smote him. So then has God given a day to the wicked? The wicked has gotten in. Lucifer has gotten in, all right. He's climbed up into the upper lintel. That is, the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel. But he did it through the grace of God. That grace that was given to the church. That grace that was given to the babes of Christ. That day that God has given to give you and I a chance. Those that was to be born into the kingdom of God. And those that was to develop. And those that was to walk with God. I said this the other night. Do you think that God is such a wretch that God would give a day of grace for a devil to bust the brains of a baby out? For a devil to take the virtue of some young girl? Or for a devil to stick a knife to somebody's throat and split his throat? Do you believe that God would give a day of grace for a bunch of racists to get out here and race around a racetrack so that somebody can wind up in the condition that Chuck did? Paralyzed from his waist down. Do you believe that God does that? Do you believe that God condones any such as that? You know, I tell you what, sometimes I think of myself as being ignorant, but I trust that God will never be that ignorant. God hasn't given any day of grace for that. God hasn't made any allowance for that. God hasn't sent any blessing upon the wicked for that. That serpent climbed up into that second heaven, the upper lintel. Revelation 12 shows it, talking about the knowledge of the glory. He climbed up there, and he's up there. And this dispensational time that we're in, of this grace, these great leaders, kings and queens and presidents, and this government and all of this frolic that's creeped into the world, the infiltration, all of it's of the devil, all of it's of Satan, every bit of it's his regime and his power. Jesus said, this is the hour of darkness. My hour has not yet come, he said. You just wait till I get on the throne. You wait till God sets me on the throne. And then Lucifer will see what's going to take place. He said, this is your hour. Right now, this is your hour. You can cause me to go to Calvary. You can cause my blood to be spilled. But you're not taking it from me. I willingly give it my life. I willingly lay down. I lay down my life and I'll take up my life. Or I can take it up, and he did take it up. He said, this commandment have I received of my Father. No man taketh my life from me. So then we see the glory of this wonderful thing. See the greatness of how that God has done this marvelous thing. What is it? It's the knowledge of the glory. It's the hour of the knowledge of the glory of God. What will that do? That will change my being to where death cannot feed off of it. It will change my blood genetics. I'll be changed from glory to glory. There'll be an inspiration of life that'll come into me just like it did that little eagle when that great mother screamed out. Every time God cries out from the heavenlies, I just shake all over. Every time he moves like it was today, I can feel like 440 volts. That's connected with me, and I just feel like I could fly away. You know, we sing that song, I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory. I feel like I could just fly away. That's right. I have come to a knowledge of the glory. What is it doing to you, Brother Pike? It's changing me, folks. It's changing me. This thing is changing me. It's got into my blood. It's got into my system. It's got into my mind. It's got into my spirit. It's changing me. I've come to know that I don't ever have to die. I've come to know that I pass from death unto life. I've come to know that I'm alive forevermore. I am a son of God. I'm not waiting to get to be a son of God. I'm not waiting to receive the power of God. I'm not waiting to receive the blessings of God. I'm already one with my Father. I'm the fullness of life. Hallelujah. I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. I am filled up and overflowing. He said, I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundant. And he was the abundant life of God. And he's come and I've received that bone of bone and flesh of flesh. And now I'm the abundant, overflowing life. I'm life filled up and overflowing. You say, what do you mean filled up and overflowing? I mean I'm filled up for my lifespan that I supposed to get that much. And then I'm overflowing right on through eternity. Hallelujah. I'm done going on into that eternal life. Somebody, oh, Brother Pike, you could never do that. Well, Enoch didn't know anything about that, so he'd done it anyway. And that's the way I am. I'm ignorant to those things about what you can't do. And I'm alive to these things about what you can do, so I did it anyway. And the Bible said, God hath right now, not tomorrow, not today, after tomorrow, right now, God has taken me and God has translated me, and I pass from death unto life. And God has translated me into his marvelous kingdom. And so then today, I'm in the kingdom. The law and the prophets till John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men are pressing their way into it. And I'm one of them that pressed my way into it. And I'm happy. I'm in the kingdom. I'm not worried about getting into the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. And I've entered into his rest. And the Bible teaches that every man that's entered into his rest has ceased from his own labor. I've ceased from my own labor. They said, Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God, that you believe on him that the Father has sent. He said, for these works was finished from the foundation of the world, he said. And so then God finished these works, and I've entered into these works, and today I am the fullness of life. I was just sitting up there today, sun shining, looking at the clouds, waiting for my companion. Nobody there, and I just looked out and I thought, oh God, so wonderful to be alive, eternally alive. And I was looking at the beautiful blue, you know, the sky, and looking at the clouds, and I thought, Lord, I'm the field up overflowing life of Jesus. I don't have any fears, I don't have any worries, I don't have any sicknesses, I don't have anything. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I know you're eccentric now, I know there's something wrong with you now. You know, Jesus, you say that you was before Abraham, we know that thou hast a devil now. But nevertheless, I thought, I'm filled up and overflowing with the richness of God. In my world, there's not sickness in my world. There's not poverty in my world. There's not problems. In my world, I'm filled up with the glory of God and with the life of God, eternal life. Passed from death unto life. Living, I'm alive forever. I once was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. And I think about that, and I think about the glory of God, and I think about the knowledge of that glory, of what God has revealed to me. I say this a lot of times. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, God won't give anyone else his glory. I know that. But I also say this a lot of times. He gave it to me because I wasn't another. See, he gave it to me. Someone would say, nobody will get God's glory. He will not give it to another. I know that's true, but I praise God because I'm not another. He gave it to me because I'm not another. See, I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh, and he himself said, Father, glorify Brother Pike with the same glory that you glorified me with. Said, we're one, Father. Make these one even as we're one. Hallelujah. So then, I enjoy the wonderful glory of God. And what is this glory? This is the power of transformation. Glory is heaven. You're in the condition he's in. You're in the place that he's in. Someone would say, no, Brother Pike. Well, Elijah and Moses was. If he would let them in and wouldn't let me in, then he would be a respected person. Someone would say, but oh, Brother Pike, them great mighty men of God. I know, but think what a great mighty man we are. Hallelujah. The Bible said Elijah and Moses, Abraham and John. Why, said John was the very among the top. He was at the top of the list. And said, notwithstanding, Brother Pike and the church, they're greater than he is. Somebody say, praise God, owe me a shut up. Come on, somebody say something. God said, John, just take a look at Brother Pike and look at his congregation. Hallelujah. Somebody said, oh no, Brother Pike. I'm just speaking spiritually now. Hallelujah. I feel good. Don't you feel good? Don't you feel greater than John the Baptist? My lands, if you couldn't feel greater than John the Baptist, it couldn't be but one reason. You need to be born again. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Why, John said, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and loose his shoes. I said, that's all right, John. Just go ahead and serve it be so. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and baptize us anyway. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Pike, you must be slap crazy. You've done gone slap out of your mind, Brother Pike. No, that's the way it was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and baptize me anyway, John. It'll be okay. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Praise God. Did you know it was that babe in the womb of Mary that gave John his commission? When they got close together, John was filled with the Holy Ghost and leaped in the mother's womb, and Jesus is left to say, there's your commission, son. Go tell them I'm here. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. John spent his whole time telling them that I was coming. Amen.
Hallelujah. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Jesus said, if you do this to the least of them, you do it unto me. Paul said, glory to God, I'm here. John, I'm here, he could have said. I'm here. You said I was coming, and here I am. It's not Paul living, but it's Christ, he said. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. God, who looked beyond my fault and saw my needs. God, who looked beyond this age of problems and stumblings and staggering, and saw me in Christ, and God who predestinated me unto good works in Christ Jesus, and God who looked down and made me what he wanted me to be in Christ, in that he said, you are my workmanship in him, that I made him you in sin, Brother Pike, and I washed them sins away. When John baptized him, Paul, the street called straight, the man said, Paul, be baptized, calling on the name of Jesus, and wash away your sins. Calvary took away my sins. As many as have been baptized into Christ, to put on Christ. And I have been baptized in Christ, and as the songwriter said, praise God, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood at the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. And there in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. So then I'm free from my sins. I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. God buried me in the water in the name of the Son of God. God took away that person that was so sinful and corrupt in his sight. God took away the bastard image. God brought me into the new world. God brought me into the new image. God brought me into the new life. God said, I'll do a new thing. And here I stand, resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. I died in him. He was delivered from my offenses. He was raised again for my justification. And I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Passed from death unto life, having been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And out of this world, because God has chosen me out of this world. And God has hid me with Christ in the Spirit, in God, unto that great day of restoration, that great day of millennium. And you know, I wish I had time to really preach tonight, just saying a few things here in the way of exhortation. But you know, there's a great thing that's taking place now. It has been in the last few years. It's taking place. And the thing is, the ultimatum of the thing that has taken place and was so great and outstanding, all of a sudden is coming right now, right to the point of being revealed, or what is to come out of that great turn of event. And oh, how happy that makes me. How wonderful it is to know that when God sent John to baptize Jesus, that when Jesus went down into the water, my sins were gone. That indicated the burial, that there was no more sin. And that Jesus confirmed that with the washing away by the blood. No remission except by the blood. And he brought the remission of sin by the spilt blood or the given blood of the Son of God. And brought to light that God had given me in Christ before the world ever was. Before the world ever was, being predestinated unto good works in the Lord Jesus Christ. God at Calvary rent the veil, open it up. As I said in the book of Revelation, where it says, and the temple of the tabernacle. It was rent, the veil, and the testimony of the temple of the tabernacle was suddenly seen. And God has rent the veil. And now this wonderful knowledge of the glory has come. And the Bible said it shall fill all the heavens and fill all of the sea. And I asked the Lord, I said, how could that be? How could it ever be possible that the heavens could be filled with the glory of God and the earth be filled with it? And the Lord said, because God who veils himself in darkness will unveil himself at the end time through the knowledge of the glory down through the church ages, because Calvary was the rent veil. And God, who is the invisible power of life or potentiality of the great understanding that's to come forth, has been concealed within the intellectual types and shatters of the act of the created things of God. That is to say that if you take an atom and you split the atom, once you break the old shell open, then the potentiality of the nucleus comes out. And that thought of intellectual reasoning that God called darkness Once it's split open at Calvary, the mind of Christ appears. And the old mind of Adam begins to be abolished. And as the sunshine comes, so melts the snow and the growth is revealed. As there comes the sunlight, so goes the shadows. And the night flees away. And everything that's been covered by the veil of darkness suddenly comes into view. Hallelujah. So God, the great wonderful Spirit, the great light, having failed into the veil of the intellectual reasoning of Adam through the weakness of the woman by means of the tree of knowledge, it come as far as Calvary, and then Jesus rent the veil, and then the bright light of the day star and its dawning within my heart has taken away the veil. I don't see it through a glass darkly anymore. I see God face to face as Moses did. You know, you can't see God without dying. I had to die. Through Jesus Christ I died. Now I'm alive forevermore. Now I dwell in that light. Jesus Christ alone dwelling in the light. God is the great light into which no man can approach. Christ alone dwells in that light. Ain't you glad you're Him? It's not you but Christ living, Paul said. The knowledge of the glory. What is that light? It's the glory. What are we doing in the end time? What are we preaching in the end time? What is the vision that we would wait for in the end time? It is the knowledge of the glory. The knowledge of the glory. What is this great revelation? What is this great vision? It is the knowledge of the glory. Hallelujah. So the prophet said, it's coming. And I said, well, how can the heavens declare your handiwork? And the Lord said, because every star represents something spiritual. And God broke it down as to what they represent. And He said every tree, every blade of grass, everything in the act of creation, He said it represents something spiritual. And this is what He told me. He said, remember what Paul the apostle said? He said, Paul could have only made the statement that I'm about to make now. God said He could only have made that statement by being one who had gone beyond the veil, caught up into the third heaven, and seeing the invisible, that is to have the revelation of the invisible things. And so then Paul said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world. That he said, you don't start comprehending, you can't get it until the beginning of the creation of the world. Though we were there in Christ before the world ever was. And God chose us in Christ before the world ever was. But He subjected us down here to the development as little children. Isn't that something? I wish we had time to preach. But anyway, here it comes. Coming down through that from the creation of the world, all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. Even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. How could Paul have said that if he hadn't known it? He found out something. He come into something invisible. He come into a revelation. He come into something that the natural eye can't see. That's why I could preach all night long. And that's why people want to listen all night long. Did you know that you can come into the revelation of God and you can get into the revelation of God? And do you know there's some people that'll listen all night long? Oh, no, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, I've had them to do it more than one time. I've started before the sun went down, and when the sun come up, I was still going, and they were still saying, don't stop, Brother Pike, don't stop, Brother Pike. Why? Because they hit a stream. Oh, somebody said, but that's a long time, Brother Pike. Paul preached all night long. I know, but Moses got so carried away, he stayed up there 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. And then when he come down, he got so carried away, he went back for 40 more days and 40 more nights. This thing will cause you to get carried away. Moses. There's Moses and Elijah. While Moses got so carried away and Elijah got so carried away till they left and went on with God and ain't come back yet. Enoch got so carried away that he just went on with God and never has come back. It's wonderful, folks. So then, who are we? We are gods. Ye shall die like men from the lack of the knowledge of the glory. But ye still are gods by foreknowledge, by predestination, by election. You're gods. You pass from death into life. Gods cannot die. Ye cannot die. You're gods. You live eternally. You're gods. Jesus said, you're gods. They said, you being a man, make yourself God. We'll stone you for that. Said, well, what are you going to do about this? I said in the scriptures, you're gods. So then, here we are, gods, having been made gods with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in this world. We've left the first dimension of the world, of the first birth, and we've moved into that other dimension of God, and we're not of the world, and we're not in the world. And God's chosen us out of the world, and He said, rejoice forevermore, ye that are in heaven. Amen. You're sitting together in the heavenly places. I've chosen you out of the world, and you're not of the world. I have hid you in Christ, hid you in God, hid you with Christ. And He said to you and I, rejoice forevermore. Your problems are gone. All your troubles are over. Your worries are no more. He said, for I've given you a victory, even the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. You need to rejoice forevermore to be strong in the power of my might, to be righteous by my righteousness, to be heavenly by my heavenliness, to be godly by my godliness, to be knowledgeable of the glory by my knowledge. Praise God, hallelujah. Now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. It doth not appear what ye shall be like, but when you see Him, all of a sudden there's going to be a change. In Thessalonians, a quick change at the conquering of death, which death you have conquered. And when this knowledge of the glory is preached and the people that are sons of God come to the full knowledge of the glory, and they know that death hath no power over them, and that they're going to rule and reign forever. The dead's going to get up out of the ground, because death is going to back off, and death is going to lose its strength, and daddy and mother and brother and sister and all of the rest of them is going to get up out of the earth. I know some of you don't believe that, but it's going to happen anyway. Hallelujah, it's going to happen anyway. So then they're going to get up out of the earth. I'm going to conquer death. I've already conquered death. And I beheld Lucifer, the Bible said, the enemy. I've given you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And the last enemy that's conquered is death. And I conquered him. Hallelujah. I conquered death. You say, how do you know? Because I cannot die. If I hadn't have conquered him, he'd kill me, but he can't kill me, so I conquered death. See, the Bible said we have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. So I've conquered death. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me they're not going to put you in the grave? I didn't say anything about the grave. I didn't say anything about that. Somebody said, well, what do you mean by that? I mean that Jesus said, Lazarus is asleep. I'll go wake him up. And I tell you again that when a man's spirit departs this body, he does not die. His body goes to sleep. And Paul said, if you'll just trust in God, believe in the knowledge of the glory, behold, I show you a mystery. We're going to come to a knowledge of the glory that's going to let us know something to where we don't even sleep. And when he spoke of death, he spoke of the lake of fire as being the death. He called it the second death. And when he said we're passed from death unto life, it means we bypass the lake of fire. It means our soul can never die. It means that we cannot sin because we're born of God. I say this so often to you. If I'm born of God, I can't sin. You know, this is what the church needs to get a hold of. They're never going to be raptured or translated, as they say, as long as they play around with ball games and the things of the world and don't go after the knowledge of the glory. Jesus said, he that seeks shall find, to him that knocketh it shall be open unto him, and every one that asketh they will receive of God. So then the church messing around with the world, half-hearted, doing the things of the world, the love of the world out there, being enticed by the things of the world. Satan saying, look at these, Jesus, all of these are mine. They're given into my hands. I'll give them to whomsoever I will. If you'll just go along with me and we'll be buddies and you'll worship me, I'll give them all to you. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. It's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. As long as the church world is playing around out there like a bunch of children and the preacher's playing around with them, then that means they're never going to get anywhere. But folks, when we get down to business and we get into the knowledge of the glory, we're going to realize who we are. And the Bible says in Revelation 11, we're going to rise up and we're going to take the kingdoms of this world. I don't have to rise up and take the kingdom of God. I've already got the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is already within me. And I'm going to rise up and you're going to rise up and we're going to take the kingdoms of this world. We're going to take it from Mr. President. We're going to take it from Miss Queen. And we're going to take it from Mr. King. We're going, you know, in Mexico, they call him Mr. President. We're going to take the kingdoms of this world and they're going to become the kingdoms of God. Not the kingdom of God. We've already got the kingdom of God. We're going to take the kingdoms of this world. And they're going to become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. And we're right on the verge of that, the redemption of the body. My, and the knowledge of His glory that's been revealed to us and some of these things that we've shared with others, how great and how mighty, how beautiful, how breathtaking they really are. And when this is sown as seed and it gets into the wind like the feathers and it goes to the different parts of the earth, like it was when we were over in India and a group of people got together and they heard this and they said, my God, Brother Pike said, this thing, they just heard a little of it. They said, this will win all of India to God. God is doing a new thing. God is doing something great. God is doing something wonderful. And I am a partaker. I'm just a little pea, a little pebble on the beach. But I'm one of them. I'm right out in the middle of this thing having myself a good time. I'm like a 3-year-old child splattering around in the water. I got some films here of my little twins when they're about so high. And it is a beautiful scene to watch them as they tiptoe down to the waters when we were over in Cayman Island. There at a barren place, the little fellas are out there. We're sitting there and they're tiptoeing down. And it's just so amusing to watch them as them big waves come in. They're so afraid and they want to get in that water. And finally they got in that water and they just splashed around like a couple of ducks. That's the way I am. I've done got into this water and I tell you, it's amusing to watch me because I'm splattering around like a duck. I'm having a big time, folks. I'm having a big time. God is so good. This is so wonderful. I found eternal life. I found out I don't have to die. I found out I don't have to be sick. I found out I don't have to be in poverty. I found out that God done something that completely eradicated and took away every drab side of living, and I am the filled up, overflowing life of God. And I'm happy. I am happy. You know, if we were just preaching about religion, that would be a boring thing, didn't you know that? If we were just preaching, you got to live right, you got to come to church, we got to build a church, we got to have a place to be there on Sunday and Monday and whenever. I can't think of nothing more repulsive. I can't think of nothing more disgusting. I can't think of nothing that would be worse than to think that you'd have to do that when everybody else is fishing and going down to the beaches and having a good time. I couldn't think of nothing worse than to have to pin you up in a church in a building and tell you that you can't do this and you can't do that. But folks, I tell you what, when you come to eternal life and you see the waters of God and you see the joys of Christian living and you see that wonderful world and you cross over the boundaries of worlds and you get into that world, you look back and you don't have to do but one thing. Say, me? Get tangled up with the beggarly elements of the world and go back and eat out of the garbage can? I'm not a dog. I'm not a pig. See, I'm a lamb. We're offering up the blood, a living sacrifice. We're offering up the blood. But what are they doing? They're coming with the old pig's blood. They get out and they holler, ball game, pass the pig skin and waller in the mire. You know, throw it to me and waller in the mire. We're pigs. Let's get together, all of us, they say. When we get through wallowing in the mire, we'll have a drunken party and we'll lick our own vomit. You know, we'll go party all night and we'll vomit part of that night, and you know, and we'll lick the vomit and we'll prove the dogs that we really are. You know, we'll prove to be the dogs we really are. Dogs by the grace of God. We'll prove it. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. I believe every word of it. Like this university we got over here called the University of Georgia. Women and men taking off their clothes and getting stripped down naked and running across the grounds out there calling it streaking. You know, what kind of education is that? What kind of a bunch of, I better not use them terms, you'd think I was sacrilegious. What is that? I'm glad, folks, that we haven't filled our belly with the husk. You know, I'm not speaking against the dogs. Dogs are dogs, and you can't make nothing out of a dog. Had a dog, I come up, you know, had my little old dog with me. And my little old dog was a sweet little old dog, and I'd hug his neck and kiss him on the head as a boy and all kind of things. But it was just sometimes when I got around, I
found him doing things that just, it didn't sit right with me. Because as pretty as he was just doing the wrong thing. You know, in all of my kisses, I didn't want, you know, I was over in Israel and this fellow there, he called himself the man with the kissing camel. And he said, now you kiss your wife and I'll kiss the camel. Sure enough, he kissed the camel. But that still didn't keep the camel from slobbering when he slobbered. You know, he was a slobbering, kissing camel. So, I know they kiss each other out there, but you got to admit, there's a whole lot of things out there that's not too kissable. I heard not so. I said, Brother Pike, you don't really believe them folks would, you know, lap their own vomit. Somebody told me that they went to one of these rock and roll shows and said the man vomited in a cup and everybody saw it and he turned it up and drank it. Well, anyway, that don't sound good, does it? But I wished I did really have time to preach tonight on the knowledge of the glory, but just exhorting a little bit tonight. I know it's getting late. But you think on it now, folks. See, pig's blood. You desecrate the altars. That is the abomination that maketh desolate. The price of a dog in the house, they're receiving it. They're taking the offering of the wicked to build the sanctuaries with. See, and God is upset about it. And the pigs, it is a pig walla. It is a pig walla. They're bringing it into the house of God. See, and it is offering the pig's blood on the altars of God. It's bringing in the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke of. See, you know, we've got a message here that really defines that, brings it out in detail. But just in general, just think. Something that is abomination in the sight of God? What is that? He said, the wicked is abomination in my sight. Their offering is abomination in my sight. He said, and that abomination will make your sanctuary desolate of my spirit. You let that in and one member come in and another, and after a while the whole tree's rotten. Leave that old rotten potato in there and the whole bag will stink. And he said, get that stuff out of there and be a new lump. Don't even as much as eat with the one that commits fornication. Don't have any fellowship with them if they be called a religious person. That is a brother. Don't do that. And you may eat with the sinners and the publicans in the world. You may sit there because they're ignorant and don't know. But when it comes to the religious and they say they are a brother and they're supposed to know the truth and they do those things, you don't so much as eat with them. So then it's a wonderful moment. It's a wonderful hour. You say, why is that, Brother Pike? Because it is the hour of the vision of the prophet. That is, it is the hour when everything in the natural is going to come unveiled and all of a sudden it's going to become the knowledge of his glory. The potentiality, the understanding, the nucleus, the power, it's going to be revealed. You know, it's coming out. This is the hour of the rent veil. This is the hour, as we preached the message the other night, of the unbroken covenant. This is the hour of that ark of his testament from within the temple of the tabernacle being made known. This is the hour of the rolling back of the scrolls. This is the hour of Revelation 6 and the fifth seal and the sixth seal that the Bible speaks of. This is the hour, this is that great moment of the revealing of the vision, the knowledge of the glory. Hallelujah. And the Bible said we are moved by his spirit and from within us we are changing from glory to glory. We sing that song, oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. You know, we are moving from glory to glory. Beholding as it was his face, and it unveiled, and the glory of God within the face of Jesus Christ. Such glory is changing me. Oh, that's so wonderful. We just kind of scratched just a little bit around the edges tonight and really didn't get into the real preaching of the knowledge of the glory. We just more or less talked about the knowledge of the glory. Well, one of these nights, I'd love to get into the knowledge of the glory. I want you to stand with me. Just felt like exhorting you a little bit tonight. It's warm, uncomfortable. And I didn't feel too much spirituality here tonight. So we just kind of drove a little bit to exhort. But you know, when that prime time is there, when that special moment is there, when the congregation comes together and they're not tired and hot, maybe on a Sunday morning when they haven't filled the tummy with so much, a little bit spiritual, and then to talk about the knowledge of the glory. There's so many hundreds and thousands of things tonight. So help me, God, hundreds and thousands of things concerning the knowledge of the glory that I would like to talk about tonight. I would just love to talk about it tonight. The lovely, wonderful Christ in you. You know, you don't have any hope of that glory except to be Christ in you. If you don't have the Word of God, the seed of God, if you don't have that Christ on the inside of you, that glory that Moses and Elijah appeared in, you don't have any hope of it. For the Bible said he alone was made heir to the glory of God. And if you don't have him in there, then you don't have any hope of that glory because he's the only heir to it. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. How beautiful. How did Jesus appear on the Mount of Transfiguration? By one thing. He had the knowledge of the glory. So he just walked into glory. How did Paul get up into glory, into the third heaven? How did John get up there? Read about it. Paul said, I've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. I went up into the third heaven. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's the knowledge of the glory. How did John get up there? John said, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is it? It's the knowledge of the glory. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus, the light of the glory of his unveiled flesh. And I want to say again, we appreciate you being here. It's such a wonderful time for the church. It's such a glorious time. This is the crossing of the Jordan. We're now at the crossing of the Jordan. You know, there would never have been a Jordan River except for one thing, and that was to be a type of the carnal mind. God given us something natural that we could observe and discover the spiritual potentialities of the invisible God. Paul said, the invisible God whom I serve with my spirit, even God, the spirit of holiness. And it was said as John's father prophesied that we should serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. But anyway, speaking of this wonderful thing, the knowledge of his glory, the glory of God. Let's sing that chorus. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. So the light of the glory of his unveiled face, it's that glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. It's changing me. Oh, it's changing me. God is changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Sing it again. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, it's changing me. It's changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Now sing it like this with me. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Can you sing it with me, folks? Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. Or it's in thy shining glory
I can see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like him. Oh, let thy will. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. Oh, it's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. And our hope is to be like him. So let thy will be done. Just one more time. Hallelujah. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Sing it with me. Oh, let thy will be done. Do you really want that? Create in us that mind of Christ, the Father that's in the Son. For it's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. And our hope is to be like him. Oh, let thy will be done. Hallelujah. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in his word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine again. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up to Jesus. And let's sing this little chorus together. Grow sweeter each day. Grow sweeter each day. This blessing grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. Sing it with me now. Grows sweeter each day. Grows sweeter each day. My love grows sweeter for a long life's way. All through the garden I hear Jesus say, oh, this love grows sweeter. Can you sing it one more time with me? It grows sweeter each day. Grows sweeter each day. God's love grow sweeter each day. All through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. Don't you love Jesus? Jesus. It does grow sweeter, folks. Honestly, it does. When you really come to know Jesus and you start moving through the wonderful, precious moments that you spend with Jesus, it is so thrilling. My, it is so rich and so wonderful. It's so sweet, you think, oh my God, it just don't look like it could be no sweeter. And then all of a sudden it gets sweeter. Hallelujah. And you just fall head over heels in love with Jesus. And you don't care if you ever see anything again. You don't care if you ever know anything again. You just want to get away with Jesus. Just be with Jesus. That's the truth. I've gotten away with him, and I'd be with him all day long. And when night come, I think, oh God, I can't go to sleep. This is so rich. This is so sweet. I just can't. And all night long, I'd be with him. And then the next morning, I think, oh my God, this is so rich. And then all day long, I'd be with him. You know, and on and on and on. It's just so rich. It's so sweet. That's what happened to Moses. Moses got up there and he got into that and he didn't want to leave it. It's so rich. It's so sweet. So lovely. So wonderful. Hallelujah. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. They publish peace and they say that unto you a Savior is born. Christ is given to you a Savior. Do you know what a Savior is? Savior, that's something, someone that saves you from something. A Savior, somebody that has done something for you. Jesus has saved me. He saved me from death. He saved me from poverty. He saved me from heartaches. He saved me from suffering. He saved me from fears. He saved me from disappointments. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, now the knowledge of the glory. He said, cast down imagination. And so I'm trying to get rid of all that stuff. And he said, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You know what exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Like I preached the other night, did you know that sickness exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Have you ever considered that? Sickness exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of the Lord says, by his stripes you were healed. And what I say unto one, I say unto all. And sickness says, nay. God said, cast the thing out of the way. Get it out of the way. Isn't that right? Satan says, fear. But the Bible and the knowledge of the Lord says, fear not. For God hath not given thee the spirit of fear. So fear exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Get it out of the way. Do away with it, folks. See, that's a rebellion against God. Sickness is a rebellion against God. God is the Word. And anything that rebels against the Word is a rebellion against God. Fear is a rebellion against God. When your heart is troubled, you know, you want to go off to work in the morning and the devil says, oh, this is the day, this is the day. And he tries to tear you up, you know, this is the day, this is the day your little boy's going to get run over, your little girl's going to get killed, this is that bad day, this is it. Your wife is going to leave you, she's going to be a prostitute before you get home, and the wife, she, you know, your husband, he's going to be with her today, you know, he's going this way and that way, and there's a wreck coming in. You know, all of this crowds your mind and it robs you of life. It is a government. It is a controlling power that I mentioned today. I wish we could go into that. But anyway, this is a force that comes over you. And this exalted itself against the knowledge of God. It says, you are going to die. You're going to die because you sinned. And then the knowledge of God says, the knowledge of his glory says, he that believeth on me is passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. Believest thou this? Hallelujah. If you believe this, thou shalt never die. And you cast it down because that is a rebellion against the glory and against the knowledge of the glory. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Poverty, it rises up and it says you'll never have even a good living. An old rattle trap of a car. You can't make it. You're one of them. You're just one of them.
The others can, but you can't. But the knowledge of God says, I would above all things that you prosper. What I say unto one, I say unto all. And you just say, look, devil, leave me alone. Everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, even the Word. And oh, folks, what a wonderful world this is. How wonderful this thing is. I feel like we ought to at least sing this song before we go. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and my morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and your morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. And everybody ought to tell. One more time. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and my morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. And everybody ought to know. Let's close our eyes, lift up our hands. If you believe in Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus said one time, he said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah. For I'm the fairest of 10,000. Glory to God, I'm the bright and the morning star. And this day spring from on high, this great light is spring up among them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. I'm your light, I'm your life. I'm the fairest of 10,000. I'm the way, I'm the truth. No man can get to the Father but by me. If you believe in God, believe in me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm alive, folks. I'm alive. I'm alive. Hallelujah. I'm alive. While you've got your hands lifted up and while you're thinking on Jesus, while you're feeling the wonderful presence of His love, ask God to grant unto you the spirit of revelation and say, Lord, this vision that Habakkuk spoke of, I want the knowledge of the glory. Can you do that? Down in your heart, say, Father in heaven, I want the knowledge of the glory. Hallelujah. I want the knowledge of the glory. Ye are gods. Jesus said, ye are predestinated gods. Said, but you're going to die like a weak man because you don't know the knowledge of the glory. Said, my people perish from the lack of knowledge, the knowledge of the glory. Folks, we're not bound unto death. The Bible said that God looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners, and at a time accepted, he succored us and he freed the prisoners from death. At a time accepted, when he bruised Jesus, when Jesus died for our sins, that was the accepted time, and God freed the prisoners from death, and we're not in bondage anymore. So don't let it exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Cast it down. Say, away with you, Satan. That old carnal-minded mind of death, this poverty and heartaches to be carnally minded is death. I'm not of the first man, Adam. I've got the mind of Christ. I pass from death unto life. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Can you believe that? Can you accept that? Can you say that Enoch did and went right on to glory with God? Elijah did and went right on to glory with God. Can you believe that? When the church begins to get the light of the glory and the knowledge of the glory, they're going to go right on to glory with God, just like Enoch did. Thessalonians change. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but go right on to glory with God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? While you've got your heads bowed, your hands lifted up, I'm going to ask Brother Clyde Cobb to come up and dismiss us. While he's coming to pray, I want you to just say, Jesus, life is so sweet. Oh, it is so sweet. I'm full of life. By reason of him, I'm full of life. Can you say that? Can you believe that? See, I'm God's workmanship in Christ. What he wanted me to be, he made Christ to be. And then he gave it all to me. Just because I desired him and because I believed in him. Isn't that wonderful? I'm full of life by reason of him. A man drinks wine, especially new wine, all of a sudden he's full of zip because of that wine. Jesus said, drink of me, taste of me, eat of me. See, I'm full of life because of him. He is God's eternal, abundant life. And that life is abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. I've got it on the inside of me, and I've got it on an eternal basis. He didn't just give it to me as a life here. He gave it to me eternally. It's filled up and overflowing. Hallelujah. And I'm full of life by reason of him. Full of joy, full of happiness, full of faith and confidence that all things work together for my good and for the good of them that love the Lord. And that nothing can separate you from the love of God. While our brother comes to pray, think on these things. Don't forget the next service. Remember to tell somebody about Jesus and tell them about this wonderful vision that Habakkuk said was coming. And now it's here. And tell them that, you know, the Bible said God gave the word. Great was the multitude of them that published it.